Okay, Ephesians 2, 1-10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Isaac Rye and I'm the apprentice here at Summerlees Christian Church. It's great to be with you this morning and I'm super excited to look at Ephesians 2 with you. It's just been such a blessing being able to spend time looking into this passage. I've just been blown away by how amazing and generous God is and I just can't wait to share with you what I've learned. But before we start, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for saving us from our sin. Please speak to all of us today and remind us of your grace. Amen. Now, to start us off, I want to ask you a question. What's the best news you could possibly think of? What's the best thing that you could think of happening to you right now? Perhaps it would be winning the lottery, or getting a promotion, or becoming a granddad, or COVID finally being over. What's the best news that could happen to you right now? Now, on a slightly more depressing note, what's the worst news that could happen to you right now? The worst news possible. Could it be losing your job? Could it be losing your spouse? Could it be cancer? Could it be Tassie going back into lockdown? What's the worst news you could possibly think of? Well, this morning what I have to say to you is extremely important, and I'd encourage you to pay close attention and listen up. And that's because I have both good news and bad news for you. The kind of bad news that is so shocking that it's hard to believe because you just don't want it to be true. And the kind of good news that people celebrate and tell their children and their children's children about for years and sing about and celebrate for years, decades, even centuries. So I reckon the big idea of this morning's Bible passage is about how God overcomes death and brokenness. So the bad news that I was talking about is that we're all broken. But the good news is that God has overcome our brokenness and gives us new and meaningful eternal lives. So let's get into it. And by the way, if you have a Bible, I'd recommend keeping it open on Ephesians 2 because we're going to be reading the whole passage again throughout the sermon. So having your Bible there in front of you should help it sink into your memory a bit better. So I reckon the start of this passage is very clear. Paul gets straight to the point, and that point is that we've all got a big problem, and that big problem is death. I told you it was bad news. Have a look. Read with me from verse 1. As for you, that's us, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, the flesh meaning the evil part of the human heart, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Now, you've probably noticed that when we're talking about death here in Ephesians 2, it's obviously not literal death. Being dead here is talking more about a way of living. It says right there in verse 1, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. So when we're talking about being dead here, we're talking about living as if we were dead. So, according to Paul, and indeed the entire Bible, it is a part of our human nature to be imperfect and broken. We've all failed to love God, and we've all failed to love our neighbour. And I reckon if we're honest for a moment, we all know deep down that this is true. We've all made mistakes, and we continue to make them. I mean, think about it. Have you ever wondered why you can't stop doing bad things? Have you tried really hard to be perfect at something, or even just good at something, but you just keep on failing? Well, according to this passage, the reason why we can't be perfect is because we're in fact imperfect by our very nature. However, that doesn't mean that we do the wrong thing completely by accident. We still choose to hurt others because of our selfishness. And I know we can all think of times where we've stuffed up and regretted it. Perhaps there was a time when you told a lie and it came right back to bite you. Or maybe you said something really nasty to someone and brought them to tears, and that made you realize that perhaps you're an imperfect person after all. And we all wish we could be better than what we are, whether that's being a better mum or husband or employee. We all like to think of ourselves as good and highly functional people, but if we take a step back for a moment and swallow our pride, it's pretty obvious that lots of the time we're far from it. And the reason why we're by nature deserving of wrath, verse 3, is because God is serious about sin. In fact, he hates it. God hates sin. Now, some of you might not like the sound of me saying that God hates sin because, well, it sounds scary. But if you think about it, it's actually a relief that God hates sin. Because don't you hate sin? Don't you hate it when you're lied to or backstabbed? Don't you hate it when people talk about you behind your back? Well, God hates that too. And that's a relief, because imagine if God didn't care about the times when people wronged you. So do you think God wants imperfect people like us running around wreaking havoc in heaven? To help you better understand what a hopeless situation we're in, let me illustrate it for you. What can a dead body do? Can it move? Can it see? Can it eat? A dead body is, well, a dead body. A dead person is utterly helpless and cannot do a single thing. Can't hear, can't see, can't think, can't even blink. We, in the same way, were dead in our transgressions and sins. We're utterly helpless and cannot do a single thing about the fact that we are indeed sinful. We cannot move out of this situation. We cannot see just how bad we are, especially not in God's eyes. We cannot go a single day without thinking selfish thoughts. We are utterly helpless, physically, mentally, and spiritually. This is bad news. I can see it on some of your faces. This is terrible news. It's the worst news that the world could hear. And I have two groups that this is bad news for. Firstly, this is bad news for religion. Why, you ask? Well, if it's true that we're dead in our sins and cannot get right with God by being good, religion is worthless. Why? Well, isn't the whole hope and end goal of religion to make you right with God by being a good person? Well, look what we've just seen. Ephesians describes us as being helpless as a dead person. So we can't be anything, and that includes being a good person. Now, am I saying that it's wrong to try and do the right thing? No. I'm simply saying that if we put our hope in trying to be good, that hope is ruined because a dead person can't be good. Anyone who puts hope in good works has no hope at all. Secondly, to be more specific, this is bad news for all humanity. If it's true that we're dead in our sins, and it means there is nothing we can do to have eternal life and get to heaven, there is nothing we can do to change from our imperfection, and this means there is nothing we can do to have a personal relationship with God, the creator of the universe. What's the point in trying to live a good life if we're already dead and can't do anything about it, and therefore we'll have to face God's wrath? Like I said, this is the most terrible, dreadful news that any human being could possibly hear. So do you want to hear the good news? I saw someone mouth, yes, please. If so, if you want to hear the good news, now is the time to listen. If you've been zoning out, snap out of it and pay close attention now. Because the bad news is that we are great, great sinners. But the good news is that we have an even greater Saviour. So this brings me to my second point. God made us alive. Take a look at verse 4 and tell me the first word of that sentence. Tell me. But. Now this has got to be the greatest but in the history of buts. If you're going to listen to any but, please listen to this one, okay? So we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So even though we were God's enemies, even though we were dead in transgressions, God made us alive. He saved us from death. And here's the best part. It was entirely God's doing. It was 100% God's saving work. We did not do it ourselves. We just read it's because of God's great love. It's God who is rich in mercy, verse 4. It's God who made us alive. It's his grace, verse 5, and his kindness, verse 7. We see here that it's God who is the primary subject of verses 4 onwards. And there is absolutely no evidence here that it's because of our mercy and kindness that God saved us. The Bible doesn't say that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for anyone who deserved it. No. Right here, it says that God had mercy on sinners. That's us. We were literally God's enemies, and he saved us. So what this passage is saying is that even though we were completely dead in our sin, God made us alive and wants to shower us with blessings for all of eternity. Do you see how it's a gift that we've been saved by grace through faith? It says right there in verses 8 to 9 that being saved by grace through faith is not from us, it's the gift of God. A gift. Gifts are free. This gift didn't cost us anything, yet it cost God everything, his own son. When someone makes or buys you a gift, it is totally free of charge. You don't buy someone a birthday present and then say, hey, by the way, that cost me $100, so you owe me. And if you have done that, that's not a gift, and you're also not a very nice person, and remind me to never invite you to my birthday party. If you have to pay for a free gift, it's no longer free, and it's no longer a gift. So, when someone offers you a gift, what do you have to do to receive that gift? All you have to do is accept it and receive it. You shouldn't have to work for it or pay for it. You just simply receive it. In the same way, God offers us eternal life in paradise with Him as a gift. And all we have to do is accept it and receive it. So do you ever worry that you're just not good enough? Do you find yourself worrying that God doesn't like you? Or are you perhaps worried about what's next after you die? Well, Ephesians 2 brings good news to you, friends, because this means we no longer have to try to be perfect and live perfect lives in order to have eternal life. We don't have to be stressed or feel guilty about the times we stuff up and do bad things, as well as fail to do good things, because we know that God gives us the free gift of eternal life. By the grace of God and through faith in Jesus Christ, we are guaranteed eternal life with God in a new and perfect earth with no sickness, no death, no pain, and no evil. It was because of us that we were going to die and face God's wrath, yet it's because of God that we will live and be showered with His blessings in heaven for all eternity. Thus, we must respond to God's gift of grace with faith. Faith is how we receive God's gift, because it's through faith that we trust in God that our wrongdoings aren't counted against us. Praise the Lord. Now, you might be wondering, what now? If good works aren't what gets you into heaven, why do Christians care so much about doing the right thing? What's the point in being a good person when I don't have to try anymore? Why should I care? And that's a very good question to be thinking about. God brought us from death to life. Sweet. I'm guaranteed eternal life. Awesome. But what now? Do we just continue living the same way we did, as in live for ourselves? No. A new life involves living for the one who saved us from death. And that's my third point. We now live for God. So we were dead, but God made us alive. So now we live for God. Have a look at verse 10 with me. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So basically, what Paul is saying here is that God saved us so that we can live a good life for Him. God didn't save us so it would just sit there and stay the same. Imagine someone being raised from the dead just to fall over and drop dead again. That would be so pointless and also so embarrassing. God brought us back to life to live for Him. Can a dead tree produce fruit? I mean, think about it. If God raised you to life, why would you want to go back to living as if you were dead? Seriously, why? God resurrected us. He didn't turn us into the walking dead. We aren't zombies. We are the living. A zombie has no sense and only desires to eat flesh and destroy all life. Whereas a resurrected person is always brought back to life for a purpose, and that is to live again. So again, I'll ask, why would you want to go and live the life that God just saved you from? Making yourself a zombie. God raised you to life to walk and live, not to remain buried and dead. The life that God raised us for is filled with certainty, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's wholesome. It's rewarding. It's filled with friendship and adventure. Do you want to live this life? And do you want to live it for all eternity? Or would you rather a life of uncertainty, hate, disappointment, division, cruelty, selfishness, betrayal, lies, fear, and loneliness? Now, I'm not saying that the good life is completely free from bad things. Because until Jesus comes back, we will have to continue living in a broken world. But please, I urge you, choose the life that God offers. Don't stay in the grave or go back to it. Don't waste this opportunity. Live the life that God has appointed you to live. It says it right here, that God has good works prepared specifically for you. Don't you ever wonder what your purpose is in life? Do you ever try to figure out why you were brought into this world? Well, this passage should answer these questions for you. Jesus died for you so that you would live and live for him, not yourself. To know that I've been saved to do good works prepared by God saves me from a lazy and loveless disengagement from the needs of the world, and also from ever feeling useless or insignificant. This also brings me encouragement, because if I seek to grow in good works and godliness, I know that God is going to do that work in me, because he created me to do good works. So this morning, we looked at the worst news and the best news. The bad news being that we were helplessly dead, and the good news being that God brought us to life so that we would live for him. Please think about it. Will you receive this good news? Will you believe this good news? Will you depend on this news and hold on to this good news? We were dead in our sins, but because of God's great love, we've been saved so that we can live for our King. Let's live a life for him and not for ourselves. Let's do the good works that God has prepared for us, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love him. Let me finish by reading a poem by Alyssa Roy. What is this thought of undeserved grace? A sinner condemned to a tormenting place, unable to hope, without a way out, weeping and gnashing of teeth all about. Separated from love and life, only surrounded by pain and strife. Nothing I could do to change my state, a sinner condemned to a torturous fate. Until one day your love reached down, you said you were mine and gave me a crown. Royalty, you said, you belong to me, you are mine for all eternity. Blood was spilled from the cross to the ground, dripping with love, each drop made a sound. Forgiven, 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 forgiven. By your sacrifice I can see love, healing, right standing with God above. The arms of the Father have opened wide, to his kingdom of peace I'm welcomed inside. Not by my merit, my works, or my trying, but on Jesus who hung there, bleeding and dying. Grace, grace, I belong to the King. No more condemned, there was nothing to bring. He did it all, and by faith I'm his heir. There's new life in him, I'm now in his care. Forever I'll be in the place where he lives, only by the grace that he lovingly gives. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your amazing grace, that you have done so much for us, that you sacrificed your own son for your enemies. Father, who would die for an enemy? Who would die for someone? Who would die for anyone, Father? And yet you still died for us. Help us to respond to you in faith and repentance. And help us to depend on you and depend on your gospel and the works of your Son rather than our own. Because we know, Father, that we are helpless without you. Help us to look to you always, Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.